Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. My friends, I hope you had an amazing holiday. I know sometimes the holiday brings together family in a way that is fun and exciting. And well, other times it creates tension and anxiety and necessitates the need for boundaries and lots of mind management. I get it. I just hope that you decided how you were going to show up. And then you allowed, how nice of us, right? Everyone else just to think and feel and behave however they wanted to. It is the kindest and most freeing thing to do. So I hope you were able to do that. I had my very first Friendsgiving this past week. I had it on a Tuesday, and I'm like, how come I hadn't ever thought about that before? I generally have a big birthday bash for my birthday, and I have another big Christmas party, but I loved the intimacy that was had with just a few of my very closest friends that I love doing this life with. And it was very intimate and it was amazing. I also am still on a little high from the retreat that I had this past weekend, and it was amazing. Bringing women together, I think I was designed and maybe born to do that. Learning about ourselves, designing a life that we love, one that allows us the success that we want without the burnout and the overwhelm. I'm going to call it real success. So what does that even mean? To me, real success means that I'm doing what I love while also maintaining meaningful relationships and positive well-being. So anyway, it was awesome. And the biggest takeaway was that we become aware of three major things that I believe hold us back from playing all out. And that is fears, fatigue, and frustration. And as I was reflecting back about the event, this would be my synopsis. This journey of awareness is such an exploration into truth and possibilities. And when we are too scared, when we are too tired, and we're too frustrated to step up and live into the best of who we are, we play beneath our potential. And I want us playing all out. I want us in the game, shooting the shots, making the plays, and competing again now. Not later, not when we think we have more time, not when we think that there's a better time, not when the kids are out of the house, not when we retire, but now. So what does the journey of awareness look like? That's what we're going to talk about today. Self-awareness seems like one of those personal development topics that you do when you have time, or you do maybe at the very beginning of a month, if you're lucky, or the beginning of a year. If you don't just fly into it. But when was the last time you were truly self-aware enough to know what's keeping you from dreaming again? Keeping you from knowing what you want, what you really, really, really want? When was the last time you did an awareness download in all the areas of life? How are your relationships? How is your health? How are your habits? How are things at work, really? How do you feel? What are your thoughts? How are you making progress in your life? How productive are you? Like, this is the stuff of self-awareness. Self-awareness for me is really all about the discovering and the decluttering of my life. Think about it. When you go to declutter your home, like your physical clutter, you assess, right? Let's say you're going to start with your closet. And so you start looking at things in your closet. You sort all of your sweatshirts and all of your socks and your belts and your scarves. And you go through it and you ask yourself some questions, right? Do I wear it? Does it fit? When will I ever wear it again? Do I love it? Do I love how it makes me feel? These are the types of questions to ask when we go through and purge our stuffs in our home. When we go through our pantry, we assess, we discover, what is the expiration date on this or that, right? And we get rid of it accordingly. We also discover, assess in other areas of our home, all the duplicates. I mean, how many colors of nail polish do we need? I mean, are we even painting our own nails? How many spatulas? How many pens, pencils, notebooks, etc.? It's pretty easy to know where physical clutter is creating problems in our homes and our life. Overcrowded closets, stuffed pantries, unorganized spaces, garages, basements, drawers. Where are the batteries? Where are the light bulbs? Can I even find myself a Band-Aid? But what about the not so obvious clutter that we have as it relates to other aspects of our life? Clutter by way of the thoughts we keep and hold on to. Clutter by way of our emotional hoarding. Clutter by way of toxic relationships. Are we a magnet to them? Clutter by all the distractions that steal our time. The biggest offenders, doubt, delay, and distraction. Decluttering, unburdening ourselves, making space for truth and possibility is this self-awareness journey to greater clarity, greater knowing. So first, let's talk about psychological clutter. That's the clutter of our mind and of our heart. So our thoughts are the stories that either help us win the day, win the week, win the year, or they keep us stuck in uncertainty, insecurity, and overwhelm. When you think about how you would tell your story, is it one of triumph, courage, discipline, and effort? Or is it in doubt, pity, and a whole lot of shitting? The shitting of our life looks like this. My life should have been better. I shouldn't have had a father that walked out on my life. I should have had a nicer sister. My brother shouldn't have been sick. The boy that I liked should have liked me back. The boy that pushed me against the lockers in fourth grade shouldn't have done that. I'm sure we all could spin our stories to support whatever narrative you want. But I want you to think about whether or not your story you spin is one of tragedy and heartache, or is it one of inspiration and growth? I want you to love your story. I want you to wear it with honor and pride for all that you have been through, all that you have endured, all that you have done. I met the most incredible woman at my retreat this past weekend. Many, many women. Their stories were heart-wrenching. I can't even imagine one person enduring the lot of all of it. And yet they did. And they used all the adversity and they turned it into assets. Opportunity to strengthen their resolve and their grit. The stories we tell ourselves either reinforce our misery or inspires our capability. We just get to choose. Here's what I know. Whichever story you are telling about your past will be prophesized into your future. I just want you to love the story. You are the author of it. You can choose to rewrite it. Yes, you can rewrite your story however you want without changing situations, without changing circumstances. I promise you, I could write a very sad, self-pity, woe is me story about my life. Or I can write one of redemption and strength and courage. Which one are you going to write? Which one do you want your grandchildren to read about your life? Okay, so just like with physical clutter, just like we have to try on those jeans, that shirt, to see if it fits, see if we love it, if we look good in it, we have to try on our thoughts. I like to think about our thoughts like shades of lipstick. Does this look good on me? Does it make me feel good? Do I feel confident in it? If yes, it's a thought, a lipstick shade we want to keep. And if it's not, we might want to retire the thought. So the next part of this psychological clutter is that of emotions. When we think about emotional awareness, it is really important to think about us and understand three things. The first is around clean pain and dirty pain. I learned this from Byron Katie. Knowing this is everything, you guys. She talks about clean pain and how it leaves you bitter or better. Sorry, clean pain leaves you better. It's inappropriate, mature pain. It guides you to the other side of the emotional realm where you will be able to find curiosity, compassion, love there. Dirty pain leaves you bitter. It leaves you stuck and frustrated, resisting what is. I was working with a client just this past week, and she was sharing with me about Thanksgiving plans and how it was going to be the same. It wasn't going to be the same this year. Kids were off to college. Dynamics of the house had changed. Grandparents were choosing to do something entirely different. And my client was frustrated, upset that they were choosing to not partake in the traditions of past, the traditions that they had as a family that they partook in. This frustration and bitterness, thinking that they should be doing it differently, was disconnecting her from them and from reality. You see, reality says they're not going to participate. And when we resist this reality with our judgment and shoulds, we find ourselves in a pool of dirty pain. This does not leave us better, rather bitter, because you see, what we don't accept, we judge, and we feel our judgment. The subject of our judgment does not. So in this case, the frustration was dirty pain, and it kept my client in a pool of discontent and disconnection and disbelief. She asked, oh, so I'm just supposed to think that it's okay that they choose not to follow decades of tradition? And I reminded her that acceptance does not mean approval. It is the non-acceptance piece that leaves us bitter. Bitter in not getting our way, which can sometimes lead to an all-out temper tantrum. It can resemble childlike behavior, throwing fits, getting super defensive, slamming doors, raising voices, hands and fists. I'm not suggesting my client did any of that, but this is the behavior that dirty pain fuels in so many of us. I asked my client, what would acceptance of this look like? What does honoring everyone in the story look like? What would allow her to move through this experience better on the other side? What else is possible to feel? In this particular situation, disappointment was clean. It was honoring her disapproval of choices, but also accepting the choices that were made. The shift allowed her perspective and the clarity in order to choose how she wanted to show up, how she wanted to be, in spite of how others choose to be. The second thing about emotions that I think is really imperative for us to understand is that in this emotional awareness, it's probably the most important of your overall life and experience and journey. Why? Because most of us are not aware of the 50,000 plus thoughts we have every single day, but we are very aware of what these thoughts create for us, our feelings. Our thoughts create anger and sadness and joy and delight and gratefulness and frustration and fear and overwhelm. And these emotions either shine light on a fulfilled need or an unmet one. And by understanding that feelings are our teachers, indicators of something that we should reflect on and better ourselves by, They become our wisdom. Yet for so many of us, we forget the brilliance in them. And instead, we use them as dictators that something has gone wrong, terribly wrong. And then we defend in frustration and envy and anger and discontent. I also want you to think about feelings in the now. There's no past feelings. There's no future feelings. This awareness also life-changing. To know that nothing from my past could make me feel anything without my permission in the now, meaning no matter what has ever happened to me in the past, it can't affect me. It can't make me sad, bad, upset, disappointed without me having a thought about it in the now moment. This is also true for the future. My mom would always call me a worrywart. She said that if I wasn't worrying about something, I wasn't breathing. Worry turns out to be an incredibly unnecessary emotion. And what I have allowed myself to do is instead of borrowing a bunch of trouble from my future with needless worry, I allow myself to worry when warranted, not a moment before. This type of awareness allows you to be present more often, more consciously, choosing how you feel, how you want to feel, what would serve you the best in this situation. So can we sort our emotions like we do our jeans or our shirts? This shirt looks amazing on me. I think I'm going to keep wearing it often. Emotions like that for me are curiosity. Curiosity for me are like my very favorite pair of black leggings. I mean, I never put on my black leggings and think that they're not amazing. Super cozy. They make me feel comfortable. Curiosity is that for me. And I want you to know what emotions you love, which ones you look good wearing, and choose them for yourself on purpose. This is the work of personal self-awareness. The next area of self-awareness is that of our behaviors. Behaviors. What are you aware of as it relates to your habits? Ones that you might want to start that will move you closer to your goals. Ones that you might want to stop as it is sabotaging progress on your goals. Ones that you are continuing to do that we forget about and chalk up to an obligatory responsibility and wonder why it is that we feel so resentful and bitter. Friends, we must acknowledge ourselves for all that we do. I hooked up my future me, which is my now me, last year when I was unpacking all the Christmas stuff. Just yesterday, I put up all my Christmas stuff. When I packed it up last Christmas, I left a little note for myself. The note was in a bin, and it was in the bin of all of the garland that I put on my banister. It was my mom's job, not because she loved it, but because I didn't. Since she has passed, that has always been the part of putting up all of my Christmas decorations that I don't love. I don't want to do it. And I hooked myself up with a note. The note said, "Dear Leah, I love you. You got this. Mama's going to be right by your side the whole time. Merry Christmas, girl. I'm so proud of you." I tell you what, when I opened up that bin, I was so grateful for that note. I had totally forgotten about it. I want you to think about yourself with you in mind. How can you hook up your future? How can you think of your habits with that in mind? How can you forgo some immediate gratification in the now to hook your future you up? That might look like getting in that workout when you don't want to. It might look like you not eating that cookie when you do. It might look like you writing you a note that offers up support and love and kindness and compassion. What would it look like to better hook up your future you? Because your future you will be your now you. like right now, even just a minute ago, 2 minutes from now, is hooking up your future you. What habit do you love that you want to continue to do? And if they're not serving you, if they're not hooking up your future you, they are crowding your possibilities. If you don't love them, can you just choose to bag them up and put them out to the curb? The next awareness is time. How are you spending your time? We lose so much time to doubt, not knowing what to do. And we spin in confusion in the miserable maybe, thinking someday I will know. And you're never going to get close to knowing until this day when you decide that not knowing isn't an option for you. It's your responsibility. And I promise you, the not knowing what to do is 100% cured when you know who you are. Delay. How often do we push our progress, our wants, our life, our happiness to the next Monday, to the next year, until decades later when we realize that we're not any further along? I did that for me. I don't want you to make that same mistake for you. Distraction. How much time do we spend in distraction? Unfocused activity that does not move the needle, make progress, or tap into our potential. On average, my friends, people are spending an hour minimum in distractions. Scrolling social media, opening up useless emails, shopping unconsciously. Now, 7 hours a week does not seem like very much, but you extrapolate that out into a month, that is 28 hours a month. Over a year, that is 336 hours a year. That is 42 8-hour days. That is 1.5 months lost to distractions. We don't have a time issue. We have a distraction issue. And lastly, I want to share an area of our life where we must have awareness. And that is that of relationships. Awareness in how we show up, what we do, what we don't do, whether we people please or boundary. Awareness in this area of our life is critical to whether or not we will have meaningful, loving relationships or if we just suffer in judgment and resentment. I was recently working with a client that had set some really strong boundaries with her dad. The dad didn't respect her requests for privacy. Everything that he needed was urgent, and she had been dropping everything that was important to her to meet the needs of him. He recently fell ill, and she had an immense amount of regret for ever placing boundaries on him. And I reminded her, you did not place boundaries on him. We don't. We place boundaries on ourselves. And boundaries are the most loving thing we can do. And when we don't have them, we allow people to walk all over us. And then we hate them for it. That doesn't sound like love. Love says, I'm going to honor me in this situation. Therefore, loving you in this situation. Therefore, loving us. I love this journey to awareness, knowing what thoughts fit us, knowing what feelings we wear that serve us, knowing the behaviors that hook up our future us, boundaring our time, being free of the distractions, the doubt, the delays that make us feeling like we have a time issue. If you've ever thought to yourself, ugh, I have so much to do and I don't have enough time. So many of us think that with the holidays approaching. I just want you to be on to yourself. How much time are you spending in doubt and delay and distraction? And I want you to just clean it up. You will find at least a month of your life by doing this work. Think also about relationships, the ones that free us to live it. I love this work. And if you're not already doing this work, I want to invite you to do it with me. I'm launching a couple of new programs in the new year, and I want you to be in them. I've got one if you're feeling stuck in your life. I've got one if you know there's just more, there's just another level of success for you, and you're just not showing, and you're just not sure how to get it. Whether that's more happiness, more money, more success at work, more meaningful relationships. So whether or not you're feeling stuck, or whether or not you're just feeling complacent, going through the motions, but not really fulfilled, I got you. Get on my schedule. Go over to my website at www.leahrowling.com. Contact us. Get on a strategy call, and we'll see which of the programs is going to get you the results that you're looking for in the next year. The time is now. I don't want you to wait another month, another year, another decade. Please don't wait 3 decades like I did. I'll see you next week, and hopefully I'll see you in my upcoming programs in the new year. Have an amazing one, everybody. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.